On December the 9th, 1914, Edison Industries was destroyed in a fire. Thomas Edison lost $2 million on that occasion as his life's work went up in flames. He was insured for $238,000, mainly because they thought at that time that concrete would not burn or be destroyed in a fire, so most of the building was concrete because they thought that it was fireproof. His son Charles, who was 24 at the time, Thomas Edison was 67, he ran looking for his father on that night. He found him standing watching the fire, and he could see the glow of the fire in his face. And he said these words, "My heart ached for him." He was 67, no longer a young man, and everything was going up in flames. Thomas Edison spotted his son Charles and said, "Where's your mother?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "Go and find her. She will never see anything like this again as long as she lives." And the next morning, as they walked through the charred embers of that building, Thomas Edison said these words, "There is great value in disaster. All of our mistakes are burned up. Thank God we can start anew." 3 weeks after the fire, he delivered the first phonograph. All of his mistakes were gone. He could start over again. That's really the story that God tells us, that we can start over again. But not everyone believes that way. Not everyone believes that you can start over. There are some people who like to play God. There are some people who will not allow people to start over. They put themselves in the place of God. You ever ran into someone that was like that? That would refuse to let someone change their life, that they always constantly reminded them of the past and what they had done and how terrible they were, and that they would never amount to anything, and that you'll never be forgiven. There are people like that in the world today. They seem to be totally unwilling to let anyone ever turn their lives around and start over again. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That scripture tells me that I have sinned, that every elder has sinned, every preacher has sinned, every Bible school teacher has sinned, every member of the body of Christ has sinned. We have all sinned. And we need those mistakes blotted out by the blood of Christ. Why? Because we've all fallen short of the glory of God. So there are those who like to play God and condemn everyone who doesn't measure up to their standards. And then there are others who sin so badly that they don't think that they could ever be forgiven. Hazel Fellman writes a poem that says, "I wish there was a wonderful place called the land of beginning again, where all of our mistakes and all of our heartaches and all of our selfish grief could be cast like a shabby old coat at the door and never be put on again." In her poem, she's saying how that she wished that there was such a place where the past could be cast aside, put away. But she wasn't convinced that such a place existed. That's what we see with Joseph's brothers. Over the last few weeks that I've been preaching, we've looked at different characters in the Old Testament. And I prepared this lesson before I left, and Joseph was the one that I thought we should talk about. Because Joseph is an outstanding individual. You might say that Joseph is unique. We can look at Joseph and we can learn a lot about God. That's what we see in Joseph's brothers, those things that we talked about. They seem to believe that their sins would never be forgiven. In Genesis 50 and verse 15 it says, "And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, 'Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which he did unto, or that we did unto him.'" The New King James Version says, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. Joseph's brothers had treated Joseph very harshly. They had been very evil to Joseph. Joseph didn't deserve the treatment that they gave him, but yet Joseph was willing to forgive them. And to Joseph, it was not just words. It was something that he was willing to demonstrate in the life that he lived. Joseph's brothers had been living in Egypt with Joseph for 17 years at this particular time. They had been with Joseph 17 years. So 17 years, his brothers had walked around with his guilty conscience, wondering what Joseph was going to do to them when their father died. For 17 years, they relived what they had done to Joseph when Joseph had already forgiven them. Remember that those 17 years that they were in Egypt, that they were living under Joseph's protection, that they were living in the lush pasture land of Goshen, and that they were raising their children in the shadow of Joseph's palace. For 17 years, they lived just around the corner from Joseph. And Joseph could have taken revenge at any moment that he so chose. But he didn't. You see, 17 years earlier, Joseph told them that he forgave them. In Genesis 45, verses 5 through 8, Joseph says, "Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and the Lord of all of his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." Joseph forgave them, but they didn't forgive themselves. And that's what we need to realize. Sometimes in our own lives, we're forgiven by God, but yet we won't forgive ourselves. And sometimes we are forgiven by one another, but yet we still hold that inside ourselves that we don't deserve it and we are not going to accept it. And just like Joseph's brethren, we always walk around wondering when somebody's going to get even with us. There's a story, a true story, about an attorney. And I may have told this story before, who, after studying several scriptures in the Bible, he decided that he was going to cancel the debts of those who owed him and had owed him money for more than 6 months. So he drafted a letter explaining his decision and the reasons for it and stating the scriptures as to why he was doing what he was doing. And he sent those letters by certified mail. There were 17 debt-canceling letters that he sent. 16 out of the 17 letters came back returned, unsigned, and undelivered. Why? Because the clients refused to sign for them to open the envelope because they thought the lawyer was suing them for what they owed. So in fear, they ended up running away from their forgiveness. Running away from what they could have had because they were afraid. What's interesting about Genesis chapter 50 is that it deals with two kinds of guilt. First, it deals with the guilt that is forgiven. Joseph forgave his brothers. But why would he do that? Why would he forgive his brothers? How could Joseph possibly forgive them for what they had done to him? You might remember what they did to him. He was the dreamer of the family, and he would have these dreams, and then he would interpret them, and that his brother, and he would, in that interpretation, he would tell his brothers that they were going to bow down to him. Well, they didn't like him. And they also realized that Joseph was the favorite of their father, because their father had given him a coat of many colors. So Joseph went out to check on them one day, and they decided that they were going to take care of Joseph. They beat him and they threw him in a pit. They were going to kill him. But they were talked out of it. And then they sold him into slavery. That'd be a pretty rough family to be a part of. They took his coat, dipped it in blood, and took it back and told his father that he had been killed by a wild beast. His father mourned. Joseph perhaps was thinking that his brother or his father would come to the rescue. Who wouldn't think that if you had a dad like he had, who thought he was the favorite of them all? Why wouldn't you think that he would come to the rescue? But he didn't know that they had dipped that coat in blood and said that he had been torn to bits by a wild beast. So nobody came looking for Joseph. Put in prison a couple of times, and finally rose up in Pharaoh's house in the position of power, second only to Pharaoh. Think how you'd feel if someone did that to you, and you were now in the position of Joseph with all the power and clout that he had. 10 years ago, Time magazine published a survey where people were asked if they would forgive someone for various things that they did. One was, if they told lies about you. Well, 73% said that they would forgive someone if they told a lie about them. If they stole money from them, 67% said that they could forgive that. If they slapped or punched them, 64% said that they could forgive that. If they held them up with a gun, 42% said they could forgive that. If they murdered someone in the community, 33% said that they would forgive that. If they raped them, 22% said that they could forgive them. If they raped a family member, 19% said they could forgive that. Those are terrible things that people do to others. And we notice that as the sin worsens, it was harder for people to say that they would forgive. Think about what Joseph went through. Think about how his brothers treated him. They robbed him. They robbed him of his valuable coat that he had, his coat of many colors. They violated his body by beating him and throwing him in the pit. They deprived him of his home and his family. And as I said, they even plotted to kill him. And ultimately sent him to a fate that was worse than death. What those brothers had done to Joseph was cruel and unforgivable. But Joseph forgave them anyways. And when we look at Joseph and we see the attitude that he displays, the question that we ask is, how could he do that? How could he do that? And I believe the answer is easy. First, he really did love his brothers. How do we know that? In the scripture that Paul read for us, what was Joseph's reaction when he heard the message? He wept. He wept. Why? Because he loved his brothers. Why? Because he had already forgiven them. There's a little girl in a Bible class one day. The teacher was talking about how mean people could be to each other. The little girl raised her hand and said, "My sister's always mean to me, but I love her anyways because she's my sister." That says a lot about it. Why we forgive people And we forgive people when we love people. Joseph forgave because he loved his brothers. He loved his father. When we love people as we should, we're going to forgive people. And if we love people, we find that it's easy to forgive them. But if we don't love someone, then it's easy to not forgive. We see that in the political arena every day. A politician cheats on his wife or steals money from his contributor, and what happens? People who despise that politician's party will rise up and condemn him. The media, if they dislike that party, they will say all kinds of things and they will point out every little detail that they can. But if that politician is a member of their party, they seem to overlook it. You can see an example of that when Senator Byrd passed away. He was a member of the Ku Klux Klan at one point. And you could hear people make an excuse for why that was all right. Why? Because they liked that party. Proverbs says in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12, "Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins." You see, people are willing to forgive, people are willing to excuse, people are willing to overlook if you love someone or you care a great deal about that person. If I already hate someone, then I'm going to find any reason that I can to condemn them. But if I love someone, I'll tend to find a way to forgive them. That's what God does for us. Think about it. John 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." That's how God deals with us. We can commit some terrible sins. We can do some terrible deeds. We can ignore God's Word, but yet He's still willing to forgive us. Why? Because He loves us. You think about that with your family. People in your family can say things to you that you can overlook. Things that you can ignore. That if someone out on the outside of the family said about you or to you, you would be ready to fight. What's the difference? You love that family member. How could Joseph forgive his brothers for what they had done? He loved them. Why does God forgive us? Because He loves us. Have you ever wondered how He could forgive us? It's because He loved you. And it's easy for Him to forgive you no matter what you've done. And because God loves us so much that He could forgive us our sins, He commanded us to do the same thing to each other. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, "And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sin." Love has something to do with forgiveness. If there's somebody that you can look at and you can say, "I'll never forgive them," then guess what? You don't have a whole lot of love for them. Now, you can say you do. We like to say things, but our actions speak a little louder than our words. So if we don't treat them with love, then we're not going to forgive like we should. That's what Peter's saying. Love each other. And when we love each other, it's easy to forgive sin. It's easy to forgive things that people do to us. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 32 and on, it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." What's Paul telling us here? He's telling us to be like Christ, to be like God. What did Jesus say on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Why did He say that? Because He loved them enough to die for their sins. And God loves us enough that He offered His Son on the cross. So when you look at your life and you say, how could God forgive me? That's how He could forgive you. One is because He loves you. And that's what we see in Joseph. He loved his brothers. Second reason, why only did Joseph love his brothers? Not only did he love his brothers, he trusted God. Joseph believed in that promise that we have in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. But Paul tells us, and ye know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. His brothers had treated him in an evil way. They'd done some despicable things to Joseph. But Joseph loved them anyways, and with the evil that they had done for him, he was looking at it from God's point of view of what God could do and how God could use him and how God can make good happen out of all of that evil. And that's what we need to do. We need to trust God enough that we believe that He can make good out of bad things. All through his 13 years as a slave and a prisoner, Joseph always looked to God. He always depended upon God to be there for him throughout whatever he had to face in this life. He always depended upon God to be there for him when he was in prison. He depended upon God when he was in Potiphar's house. He depended upon God when he was in Pharaoh's house. And in the powerful position that he was in, he still depended upon God. You see, he saw God in everything that happened to him, and that's why he could tell his brothers what he said. When he said, "Be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years. And in that which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And He hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and a lord of all of his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." I'm not sure Joseph's brothers could even understand what Joseph was saying, because they didn't think like Joseph. And that really should be true of us when we look out in the world. They don't understand us. And we should be such a forgiving people, especially with one another, that the world looks at us and thinks there's something wrong with us. That we're unusual, we're different. Maybe like a peculiar people, as Paul or Peter talks about. Joseph forgave them because he loved them. And he forgave them because he trusted God, that God was using them to benefit them. Do we look at life like that? You see, the evil that his brothers had done was something that God used to benefit Joseph and those he loved. What his brothers had done was evil. But what God did in response to their evil deeds was God's faithfulness. And God is always faithful to the promises that He makes. And when He tells us that all things work together for good, we have to trust Him because He is faithful to those words. Joseph's brothers had not done that evil deed, or if they had not done that evil deed, then Joseph wouldn't be where he was at, as we read here in Genesis chapter 50. Now, I'm not sure that everything happens to us is God's will. But I am convinced of one thing, that whatever happens to us, God can make something good come out of it if we will allow Him to do so. So why did Joseph forgive them? He had a good reason, because he loved them and he trusted God. What they did was terrible, but it happened 37 years prior to this occasion. And that's a whole lifetime. And Joseph had already told them 17 years earlier that he forgave them. But they refused to believe it. They couldn't believe it, because they couldn't forgive themselves for what they had done to Joseph. Jesus told us He wants us to have that forgiveness. Why does Jesus want us to have that forgiveness? Because He loves us and we can trust Him. We can trust God. God has made a way that we can have the forgiveness of sin. To the person who's not a child of God, He tells us what we need to do in order to have that salvation, to have that forgiveness, that we can be washed in the blood of Christ. How? By putting our faith in God, by repenting of our sins, confessing His name, and being buried with Him in baptism. God can forgive us if we will comply to His will, be obedient to His will, do the things that He's told us to do. And then we can go about our life living it happily ever after, so to speak. Because we don't have to be like Joseph's brothers. They carried around that guilt for 17 years, afraid of what Joseph was going to do when their father died. We don't have to be worried about the end of the world, the end of our life. If we've surrendered our life to Christ through our obedience to that gospel, we can have that forgiveness. And that's why we offer an invitation today. So that if you need that forgiveness, you can have it too. You can have those sins washed away and blotted out and remembered against you no more. Why? Because God loves you. And we can trust Him to follow through on the promises that He's made. So this morning, if you're not a Christian, become one today. If you are and you haven't lived as you should, then come and ask God's forgiveness. And we're here to help you and serve you in any way that we can, as together we stand and sing.